Tennessee is getting a lot of love in the way too early top 25 polls for 2022. We'll tell you where and by which publication. Vols in Review, we'll take a look at that dreaded cornerback position. And finally, Cade Mays had an appearance on WJOX down in Birmingham earlier on Wednesday. What did he say about Tennessee and his NFL future? All that and more here on a Thursday, Locked On Vols.
You are Locked On Vols, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, everybody, and welcome into a Thursday edition of Locked On Vols. It's presented by NetSuite today. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system to power your growth. Head to netsuite.com/locked for a special end-of-the-year financing on the number one financial system for growing businesses. Thursday's episode of Locked On Vols is presented by NetSuite. I'm your host, Eric Kane, at underscore Kaner on Twitter, and at Locked On Vols. That's where you can find me and this podcast every single weekday morning when you wake up. It's on every single platform completely free, and thanks so much for making Locked On Vols your first listen. For those of you new to the show, I'm a radio personality in Knoxville, Tennessee, at the flagship station for the University of Tennessee. That's 99.1 The Sports Animal. I'm also a staffer at the rival site covering Tennessee football, basketball, recruiting. That is all at volquest.com. Got a fun show ahead. Like I said in the cold open, we're going to hit a couple of different topics. So let's go ahead and get started. We had a Twitter Tuesday submission. Excuse me, and I apologize. I forgot who it was, but it was really good. But it had me thinking throughout the week, and of course, as it would happen, all these different publications come out with it this week. The Way Too Early Top 25 Football Poll for 2022. Now, you can't take a whole lot of stock in all this, as we know, and as we saw last year in particular for Tennessee with departures and arrivals. You can't put too much stock in it right now because you don't know really who's going to be on the team, you know, whenever camp rolls around, right? Could there be a star player that leaves through the transfer portal? Can somebody get hurt? Could there be a key addition? Things can change. Also, at this time, you know, last year when all these polls were coming out for Tennessee was going through a coaching change. That's not going to happen this year, but, you know, point remains, there's a lot that can happen between now and camp. But it's fun. It's a fun exercise to play, and a lot of this is going off of the season of 2021 and who's coming back for these respective clubs. So someone asked on Twitter Tuesday, do I expect Tennessee to be a ranked team to begin the 2022 season? And my response was, yeah, I expect it. And somewhere around, you know, 22 to 25, if they're not ranked, they're right there receiving votes at 26, 27, and 28. That's kind of my expectation. And a lot of these publications that have, you know, put out some way too early top 25 polls this week kind of reflect that. But others have Tennessee way up there. And I think that is a cause for concern, but we'll get into that in just a moment. But we're going to go through here, and I'll read you some context on some of these as well. These are certainly not all the publications that put them out there, but these are the ones that I have seen. If I'm forgetting one, I do apologize. Sporting News does not have Tennessee ranked, but said that they were the top receiving votes team outside of the top 25. So the Sporting News does not have Tennessee in a poll. ESPN does not have Tennessee in a poll, and well, I don't know how a lot of you guys feel about ESPN. It's still the worldwide leader, but the written content side of ESPN, along with the programming side, has gone into the garbage can for the most part. But ESPN does not have Tennessee in the way too early top 25 poll. It's weird. Yahoo Sports, which is part of the USA Today network, and I think that the way they did this was they had different writers kind of throw theirs out there. So it's funny. On the starting lineup on 99.1 The Sports Animal Wednesday morning, Tyler Robbins and myself, we were going through this list, and I found an article from Yahoo Sports and a way too early top 25 poll that didn't have Tennessee ranked in there. But then Tyler found one from Yahoo Sports that did have Tennessee ranked inside the top 25. So it's kind of weird how they did it. The one that I found, I forgot who wrote it, but did not have the Vols in there. The one that Tyler found was actually written by Lance Daw. And that name rings a bell. Lance helps me out with some graphic design here on the podcast. He's also the Locked On Kentucky host for the Locked On Podcast Network. So I thought that was kind of interesting. So Lance has Tennessee ranked 14th, but the one that I found didn't have Tennessee ranked. So those are the ones that are kind of iffy, and of course the ones that the publications that didn't include Tennessee in there. But here are the ones that are big, all right? 24/7 Sports, excuse me, has Tennessee ranked 24th in the way too early top 25 poll. Athlon Sports has Tennessee ranked 23rd. on three sports has Tennessee ranked 22nd. And those rankings kind of go on and reflect my mindset on where I do believe Tennessee will enter the 2022 season ranked per the AP. I think it'll be anywhere from, you know, 22nd to receiving votes. And so 24/7 Sports, 24 in the country. Athlon Sports, 23rd in the country. On three, 22nd in the country. That's kind of my line of thinking. And I guess really Sporting News as well, because they had them just outside the top 25. We'll work our way down. It gets better for Tennessee fans. Sports Illustrated has Tennessee ranked as the 16th team in the Way Too Early top 25 poll. CBS Sports, which is Dennis Dodd, has Tennessee ranked 15th. And we were joking on the show Wednesday morning. No, this wasn't David Cobb of CBS Sports, who's a graduate from the University of Tennessee. No, this is not a noted Tennessee fan in Barrett Salee that had Tennessee ranked this high. No, it was Dennis Dodd that had Tennessee ranked 15th in the Way Too Early top 25 poll. And then here's the kicker. The Athletic, Stuart Mandel, who runs The Athletic, has Tennessee ranked 13th in the Way Too Early top 25 poll. So again, a lot of this is just a hat tip and a respect factor to Josh Heupel and to what Tennessee accomplished in 2021. And that's okay, because again, that's largely what these rankings are based on. But boy, 13th, 14th, 15th, that's a little too high for my liking. For all the reasons we feel great about Tennessee's offense coming back in 2022, which you should, same play caller, same experience, good quarterback, your top wide receiver, your top running back, four of your five starting offensive linemen, a big addition via the transfer portal to help out the receiver, your two top returning tight ends. For as good as we feel about Tennessee's offense returning in 2022, as you guys know, we had that same level on the other side of the football, but it's just hesitation. Secondary, safety slow, losing cornerbacks. We saw the Music City Bowl linebackers. You had one emerge this year in Jeremy Banks, but nobody else to help him. Defensive line, you're losing three very impactful players. So there's a lot of concern for that side of the football. And plus that 2022 schedule, just grueling. And of course, that's no, you know, that's not breaking any news here, because Tennessee's schedule is always grueling because it's part of the SEC and it plays Alabama every year. You go from Ball State, at Pittsburgh, Akron, Florida, then you have an off week, at LSU, Alabama, UT Martin, Kentucky, Georgia, Missouri, South Carolina, Vanderbilt. That stretch from Florida on September 24th, hosting Florida, at LSU, hosting Alabama, hosting UT Martin, hosting Kentucky, at Georgia. Woof, that is a tough stretch. Of course, that bye week is in there on October the 1st as well. So Stuart Mandel's 13th tab of the University of Tennessee, not really agreeing with that. We'll give some context to it. This is Stuart Mandel of The Athletic again, who ranked Tennessee 13th in the Way Too Early top 25 poll. Standout quarterback Hendon Hooker put off the NFL to lead Josh Heupel's explosive offense for another season. He's joined by top wide receiver Cedric Tillman, top running back Jabari Small, Wyoming transfer Isaiah Nair joins what should be a deep receiver group. Linebackers Jeremy Banks and Aaron Beasley and Trayvon Flowers, and safety Trayvon Flowers lead an otherwise young defense. Heupel should be on the market for a transfer cornerback. Yeah, I agree with all that, but I mean, you could mention Jeremy Banks, a linebacker, but I would not mention Aaron Beasley, and I would not mention safety Trayvon Flowers. To put it into more context for The Athletic, has Tennessee ranked 13th. Other SEC teams, Alabama's first, Georgia is third, A&M is sixth, Tennessee is 13th. So that's the fourth highest ranked SEC team per The Athletic is Tennessee. Arkansas is 17th, and Kentucky is 21st. So that is one end of the spectrum where Tennessee is ranked very high in one of these, you know, make-believe, and it's not make-believe, you just can't put a whole lot of stock in it right now, because again, it is January 22nd, or January 12th, 13th, whatever the date is, but that is the point of these type of articles. It's something for us to talk about, and we're having a good time doing it. Now, let's go to 24/7 Sports, which is on the other end of the spectrum. It's got Tennessee pegged as 24th, and the word on Tennessee here from 24/7 Sports, Hendon Hooker's return under center means Josh Heupel brings back his conductor offensively for a team that should challenge for an upper-tier finish in the SEC East. I would agree with that. Building on the Volunteer success in year one under a new regime is the mindset next fall. Yeah, I would agree with that as well. They didn't mention defense, but they only mentioned offense there, and so I think the concern there for 24/7 Sports, like yours and ours, would be would be yours and mine, rather, would be on defense. To put it into the context for 24/7 Sports, who has Tennessee ranked 24th in the way too early top 25 rankings, Bama is first, Georgia is third, A&M is fourth, Arkansas is 17th, Kentucky is 20th, and Tennessee is 24th. So the same 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 teams for both The Athletic and 24/7 Sports are ranked from the SEC in the early top 25, but all The Athletic did was move Tennessee from the fourth highest SEC team with Arkansas and Kentucky behind it, where 24/7 has them as the last or sixth SEC team inside the AP top 25 behind Arkansas and Kentucky. So a fun conversation to have nonetheless. Again, this is all kudos to Tennessee. Kudos to Josh Heupel for changing the narrative of what Tennessee football is, for establishing a culture and an identity and having Tennessee in these conversations. But you feel good about Tennessee, and I said this on the show and I'll say it again. If you return the same play caller, you return the same quarterback that engineered an offense that broke 8 school records. I'll get to those in a minute. 8 school records. You feel good about your chances coming back because you can score, you can hang with anybody. In fact, I'll mention these right now. Tennessee, I've mentioned a lot of these records on the show before, but Tennessee football put them all in graphic form yesterday. These are Tennessee single-season offensive school records. 8, or really just single-season school records. 8 of them broke for Josh Heupel in year one. One of the records, 511 points. Previously, it was 484 in 1993. 67 PATs. The previous high was 62 in 2016. 3 interceptions thrown. That's the fewest. Previously, the fewest was 4 in 1992 and 1995. Total first downs, 316. Previously, 300 was the high in 1997. Passing efficiency, 167.10. Previously, it was 161.30 in 1993. And rushing touchdowns, rushing first downs, 164 rushing first downs. Previously, 150 was the high back in 1987. So that just goes to show you why Tennessee is getting all this love in these way too early top 25 polls from various publications. Okay, so that was a fun exercise. We will get back into our Vols in review, take a look at the cornerbacks in segment number 2. But before we get into that, guys, NetSuite. This is it, the putt to win the tournament. If you sink it, the championship is yours. But on your backswing, your hat falls over your eyes. Is this how you're running your business? Poor visibility because you're still relying on spreadsheets and outdated finance software? To see the full picture, you need to upgrade to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system to power your growth with visibility and control of your financials, inventory, HR, planning, budgeting, and more. NetSuite is everything you need to grow all in one place. With NetSuite, you can automate your processes and close your books in no time while staying well ahead of your competition. 93% of surveyed businesses have already increased their visibility and control by upgrading to NetSuite. Over 28,000 businesses already use NetSuite, and for the new year, NetSuite is a new financing program for those ready to upgrade at netsuite.com/locked. Head on over to netsuite.com/locked for this special one-of-a-kind financing offer on the number one financial system for growing businesses. Again, that is netsuite.com/locked. We're back here on a Thursday Locked On Vols. Now time for Vols in review. Let's take a look at the cornerback position. So we spoke on the cornerback position ad nauseum, I feel like, because again, and really since the Music City Bowl, because, you know, that is when Tennessee just got torched. And with Alante Taylor out of the football game, not playing in that game, Tennessee, you know, was hurting there. Hurting to put it lightly. So we'll take a look at Vols in review. Gone are Alante Taylor, who's going to the NFL, and Kenneth George Jr., who is a fifth-year senior. Really, yeah, a fifth-year senior. Might have been a six-year senior. Nonetheless, he took advantage of that COVID year. But he really didn't play an awful lot this year to begin with. But he has played a lot throughout his Tennessee tenure. But those two guys are no longer here. That is Alante Taylor and Kenneth George Jr. Returning would be Warren Burrell, Kamal Haddon. Those are likely probably your two starters right now. If the season were starting today, that would be penciled in. Warren Burrell and Kamal Haddon. Those two guys started the Music City Bowl. D. Williams, a junior college transfer, will throw his hat in the ring, along with now sophomore Deshaun Rucker. Rucker, who got a little bit of PT this year, mostly in that Music City Bowl, and it was not a good one. Behind all those guys would be true freshman Christian Harrison and Tyus Fields, who's been here for quite some time. One outlier, one wild card, if you will, and this is going to be interesting to see where Tennessee wants to play him, because he had been playing inside this season. Whenever there was a need there, he shifted inside, started against Missouri, won special teams defensive player of the week honors, and then we didn't see much from him, you know, later on as time went on. But then, in preparation for the Music City Bowl, before his knee cleanup, he shifted back out to cornerback and was thought to be a guy that would play a lot in that position in that bowl game, but he ended up not playing. The guy I'm talking about is Brandon Turnage. Turnage is not a very big guy. He's about 6'1", maybe about 190, and so playing inside is not ideal for him. I'm not saying Theo Jackson's a big old guy, but Theo Jackson's a little bit thicker, right? He's a safety more so than a cornerback, and that's why I think the star position is kind of built more for a safety. But in the NFL, you often see your third best cornerback playing that nickelback or that quote-unquote star position. So really, it's just all about fits and personnel and the guy that can adapt to play that position. So it will be interesting. We'll talk about safeties in that star position later on, and we'll bring up Brandon Turnage's name again. But Brandon Turnage will play next year. It's just a matter of where will he play. I think that right now it might look more like he'll play cornerback. That is his natural position, because I think Tennessee is going to go with Danico Slaughter at that star position. But then who's going to play behind Danico Slaughter? Maybe it's both of them. Maybe he plays both cornerback and star. Who knows? Time will tell, obviously. We'll learn a lot in spring, and then we'll learn a lot over the summer into fall camp. But those are your returners coming back. Tennessee wasn't fantastic at the cornerback spot this year, but Alante Taylor was. I mean, he saved his best for last. He's a guy that's played really since stepping foot on campus. He had 60 total tackles. That is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5th best on the team. He had a TFL. He had 2 interceptions, 6 pass breakups. He had a forced fumble. And really, he didn't give up the long ball, right? I mean, so many times throughout his career early on, it was almost like you saw the back of his jersey, that number 2, running behind, because he had guys that got behind him a lot. And I'm not trying to pick on him, but, you know, that's kind of the image that's instilled in my memory of Alante Taylor for a lot of times throughout his career. This year, not so much. I thought he really, really played well this year. And it showed down the stretch when teams were targeting Warren Burrell and not Alante Taylor whatsoever. They were trying to single out the weak link. We'll move on. Those were Alante Taylor stats. We'll go down to Warren Burrell. Warren Burrell, who started multiple games this year, played in every single game this year except for one. It was that Alabama game that he didn't play in because of injury. 41 total tackles, 2 TFLs. He had 7 pass breakups, no interceptions. Warren Burrell, I've said it before, I'll say it again. I thought he was solid there for about 6-7 games. The last 4-5 games, boy, was he not. Not solid at all. South Alabama targeted him. Vanderbilt targeted him. Georgia targeted him. And, of course, Purdue targeted him as well. He had 4 pass interference calls against Purdue, 3 of which I'll say was pass interference. 1 was BS. On 1 late touchdown, he completely fell and just, you know, didn't even contest the ball. It got so bad that the last 2 series of that game, that shootout game, again, that ended 48-45 in overtime in favor of Purdue, you had Theo Jackson playing cornerback. And Tennessee was down cornerbacks. You know, Alante Taylor didn't play. Brandon Turnage didn't play. Kamal Haddon was in and out of the lineup because he had some shoulder issues. Tennessee was down some cornerbacks, but just not a good situation to be in. Warren Burrell's played a whole lot of football. A whole lot of football. And it was funny because over Christmas, I think it was a couple days before Christmas, the Tennessee Media Relations gave us Warren Burrell at a media availability. And so I wrote a story on Warren Burrell about some of his struggles this year, but also took some of his quotes and said that he's ready and prepared to be that guy to step up in the absence of Alante Taylor, that he learned a lot from Alante Taylor. And I mean, you look at his stats here. I mean, Warren Burrell in his Tennessee career, I mean, goodness gracious, he started a ton of games. I mean, he started some as a true freshman back in 2019. He you know, started a lot last year as well. And he's done a lot. But after the Music City Bowl, the thread of my story on Warren Burrell was bumped to the top, and people were making fun of me because I guess some thought that I wrote that immediately after the Music City Bowl. But nah, it's just all in good fun. It was kind of funny. But no, I wrote that story before the Christmas holiday. But nonetheless, Warren Burrell's played a ton of football. And should Tennessee give up on Warren Burrell? Absolutely not. Remember Alante Taylor against BYU? You know, Tennessee didn't give up on him after that, and look what he turned into. I don't know what the future holds for Warren Burrell, but this offseason he needs a whole lot of work, that is for sure. But he is an experienced guy. He's been battle-tested. I just think he kind of has the yips right now, if we're being completely honest. We'll keep working our way down. Brandon Turnage, I mentioned he had 22 tackles on the season, 2 TFLs. You know, largely a lot of those came while playing the star position against Missouri. You've got Kamal Haddon, who saw a little bit of time, 7 games for 17 total tackles, 2 TFLs. He had a pick that came in the Music City Bowl, had a forced fumble as well. You've got, Tennessee didn't play a whole lot of cornerbacks. Kenneth George Jr. finished the season with 5 tackles, played in only 8 games. Deshaun Rucker played in all 12 games. A lot of those special teams, 5 tackles, and that was really, really about it. So, for Tennessee, cornerback's going to be an issue, or cornerback's going to be a point of emphasis. Could Tennessee go out and find another cornerback in the transfer portal? Potentially, especially after spring, we'll have to see. But, set to return right now, and this is pretty much the Music City Bowl roster. Warren Burrell, Kamal Haddon. Behind them would be D. Williams, who wasn't here for the Music City Bowl, who's a talented player that I think could step up and especially help in the return game. Led junior college in interceptions this past season. Maybe he can, be a real factor in the race at cornerback. Deshaun Rucker, who will be a sophomore. And then finally, true freshman Christian Harrison and veteran Tyus Fields, with potentially Brandon Turnage that can rotate in there as well. Or maybe have a starting spot. We'll have to see. So there are guys who have played, but Tennessee is kind of very green at the cornerback position outside of Warren Burrell, is kind of how I would phrase it. That is going to be a position that needs improvement, and certainly the defensive line, if Tennessee can get a pass rush, that will certainly help these cornerbacks who are often playing on an island. All right, those are my thoughts on the cornerbacks in Vols in Review. We'll catch up with what Cade Mays had to say on WJOX on Wednesday. Some of the highlights we'll play for you and discuss his comments when we return. But you guys know this. I'm getting this app out here called Get Upside, and it's something that everybody who buys gas needs to know about. My listeners are making up to 25 cents every gallon of gas every time they fill up. Just download the free Get Upside app in the App Store or Google Play right now, and use that promo code SCORE and get a bonus 25 cents off per gallon on your first fill-up. That's up to 50 cents cash back. Don't pay full price at the pump anymore. Get cash back by using GetUpside. Download the app for free and use that promo code SCORE, and you can get up to 50 cents a gallon cash back on your first tank. Some people who drive a lot are making as much as $200 to $300 a month in cash back, and there's no catch. The cash back gets added right to your bank account. You can cash out at any time in your bank account, PayPal, e-gift cards, Amazon, and other brands. Just download the free GetUpside app and use that promo code SCORE to get up to 50 cents a gallon cash back on your first tank. That is promo code SCORE at Get Upside. And it is Bet Online. Like to wishing you a Merry Christmas and Happy New Year as they continue our march throughout the college football playoffs, which is now over, and the NFL playoffs, which is just about to begin. Bet Online remains your number one spot for all your sports wagering action in 2022. New year and new updated desktop and mobile websites to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use that promo code LOCKEDON to get started. From football, basketball, hockey, boxing, UFC, right to your favorite Las Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all these amazing offers available for the 2022 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, it is where the game starts. Just a little bit left here on a Thursday Locked On Vols. Thanks so much for hanging out with me today and making Locked On Vols your first listen. One note from Tennessee football on Wednesday. I failed to mention it earlier in the first two segments, but receiver Anderson Kobe has entered the transfer portal. Remember, he was JUCO brought up really when Kevin Steele was the interim head coach at Tennessee. And, he got a little bit of run in fall camp and everything, but ultimately didn't play a whole lot this year. He was pretty much kind of last on the depth chart in terms of who might play wide receiver. I think he had one reception for about 5 yards this season. But Anderson Kobe has entered the transfer portal. All right, so former Tennessee offensive lineman, kind of weird to phrase it like that now, Cade Mays. He joined Greg McElroy and Cole Kublik on McElroy and Kublik in the Morning. That's on WJOX 94.5 FM down in Birmingham. And they do a fantastic program. Of course, both these guys are very instrumental in college football coverage on the SEC Network, on ESPN. They host their own radio show. They really, really do a fantastic job. They get some of the greatest guests in college football on their radio show every single morning. And one of those guests on Wednesday morning was Tennessee offensive lineman, former, in Cade Mays. And I wanted to play some of the highlights from this interview. Again, this audio is from McElroy and Kublik in the Morning. You can check it out. Go to their Twitter account. You can see the full interview. But here are some of the highlights where I got this audio. And we'll play the audio and give a little bit of an explanation. So Cade Mays was asked on switching offenses, going from a pro style big on big up to an up tempo type situation, and the change in coaching staff with that change in philosophy. Here is what Cade Mays said on that.
When they first got there, it was really difficult. There was a lot of steps that went into, you know, how to go fast, how to play efficient. And that's what it really is. It's not even really playing fast, like playing fast between the snaps, but after it, it's just playing efficiently. And, you know, it was tough coming from the last staff that was there who, you know, think we huddled up every play and didn't do much tempo. So now, you know, we're, you know, finishing the play, running up to the ball, getting set as fast as we can. So it was definitely difficult, especially just getting in shape to be able to do that. But, you know, I think when we all figured it out and started playing efficiently, that it really worked.
Had to be quite the change for sure, going from that Jim Chaney offense and Jeremy Pruitt's plays that he wanted called to it's just so funny to the offense that Tennessee runs now. But what I'm saying is it's so funny. Jim Chaney's been a success everywhere he's been, including Tennessee his first go around, and you pair him with head coach Jeremy Pruitt, and it's obvious what Pruitt wanted to be accomplished, and that offense was just abysmal there the last 3 years he was head coach. But moving on, what about Cade Mays when he initially came to Tennessee? One of the themes of this interview was transfer portal in and out. We'll get to some of those here in a minute. But Cade Mays, when he was at Georgia, entering the transfer portal, coming to Tennessee, what was that process like?
It was definitely crazy. I was getting my phone was blowing up, but, you know, I kind of knew that, you know, if I entered the transfer portal and Tennessee had a spot for me, that's where I was going. So as soon as I was entered in there, I, you know, called up Tennessee and they had a spot for me. So I didn't really look anywhere else. I just, you know, got in my car and drove north to Knoxville.
There you have it. I mean, it's not really breaking news. Obviously, he went to Tennessee. Obviously, his brother was coming to Tennessee. But he said, hey, as soon as I got in the portal, I was going to go to Tennessee if they had a spot for me. I called Tennessee. They had a spot for me, and I drove home, essentially, is what he said. That was Cade Mays on coming to Tennessee from Georgia. Now, what about all the players leaving via the transfer portal last offseason? Tennessee had a lot. You saw one play on Monday night's college football playoff national championship game. You saw others balling out at some other respected schools. You saw some that didn't really make much of an impact. But Tennessee was hit hard departure-wise from the transfer portal last offseason, following a 3-7 season, a coaching change, an investigation, and all that. Here's what Cade Mays had to say on how players view players, teammates, leaving via the transfer portal.
Man, everybody's situation is different. And, you know, I think what's different about, like, there's a different view of how, like, players view the transfer portal. Like, when those guys leave, like, those are our friends. Like, those are our brothers. Those are our teammates. Like, it's deeper than football at that point. So, like, one of your friends is moving. It's not like our running back, our wide receiver is leaving. Your friend is leaving at that point. And so, like, there's no animosity towards that. Everybody's situation is different. And, you know, you want to see everybody that you're friends with succeed at a high level. And, you know, that's what you're rooting for them when they leave. You know, you want to see them go somewhere and, you know, tear it up. Like, I tell people all the time, like, Ty Chandler transferred from Tennessee and went to North Carolina. Had a great year. You know, everybody, we talked about it in the locker room all the time. Like, you would hear it all the time. Oh, you saw Ty did this, this, and this. Like, that's what your teammates want to see you do when you transfer. There's never really any animosity towards it.
I thought that was a great answer because, you know, me, my job, it's saying, you know, I go straight to, all right, well, Tennessee loses a running back. Now you only got three scholarship running backs in the room, two of which is any type of playing time, yada, yada, yada. I go break down the numbers, the synopsis, the analytics, all that type of stuff. Not really analytics, but you know what I'm saying. You know, from a player's perspective, it's you don't lose just a running back or a tight end or a receiver. You're losing a teammate. You're losing a friend. And so you root for those guys. And that's kind of been the norm. We've known about that. But it's kind of a much, much, much different way of looking at things, you know, compared to how I look at it, compared to how you look at it. I thought that was a fantastic answer from Cade Mays. A couple more. This is on Cade Mays on what he's doing now in preparation for the NFL draft, where he is, and kind of what he's doing day by day.
I'm training in Phoenix at Exos, and you know, I just want to get better every day, work on my craft, not only to, you know, perform well at the combine and you know, my pro day, but that's, you know, that's just a stepping stone. That's not. But, you know, getting drafted is not the end-all, be-all. You know, you gotta get in the NFL, and you have to stick. You have to play well. So I want to work on my craft as an offensive lineman and, you know, get better at that as well as, you know, trainer for the combine and the pro day.
And then finally, I think one of the biggest things K-Mace has going for him in his stock for this NFL draft is his versatility. He played everywhere at Georgia. He continuously flipped from guard to tackle while being at Tennessee here for 2 years. And you know Cole Kublik's got to ask an offensive line question. Cade Mays on playing tackle this past season when primarily he's more of a guard. Here's what Cade had to say about that.
During May when we have chances, you know, to take a little break from football and stuff and class, I went to Dallas and trained with Duke Mannyweather. Put in a lot of work out there the whole month of May and, you know, did a lot of meal prep stuff. So that was how I changed my body, and I kept doing that, you know, when I came home over the summer. And then I feel like, you know, I can play any position at the next level. I've showed that I can play all five at a high level. So, you know, wherever a team needs me to play, you know, I've showed that I'm willing to play it. So,
again, that was Cade Mays from the McElroy and Kublik in the morning show, WJOX, Jocks 94.5 FM in Birmingham, one of the best sports radio shows in this region in the United States, and really one of the best morning shows in all of America, especially the sports sector. For the full interview, go check out their Twitter account. Go check out their website. Those were some of the highlights. That's McElroy and Kublik in the morning, WJOX. All right, guys, that'll do it here for today. It's been a fun show. We discussed some where Tennessee placed in the way too early top 25 polls. That's always a fun conversation to have. We hit up the cornerbacks in our Vols in review, and we played and heard some from Cade Mays from his interview on Jocks earlier Wednesday morning. Anderson Kobe has entered the transfer portal. Tennessee, we'll see if anybody else does. I mean, this is always evolving, always changing by the day. We'll see if Tennessee continues to target guys via the transfer portal. I can tell you this, Tennessee is always evaluating everybody that enters that portal, as kind of the norm in college football now is roster turnover and roster changing and movements, and that is obviously still the case for Tennessee. All right, coming up on Friday's show, we'll check in with our good buddy Ben McKee, my colleague at VolQuest.com and also the Swain event. He will chime in on a little bit of Tennessee and Kentucky previewing for the weekend. We'll get back into our Vols and review and a whole lot more. That's coming up on tomorrow's Locked On Vols to end the week. Locked On Vols is in the books. Thank you so much for making it your first listen each and every day. Now check out Locked On Bets, your boy Q, handicapping expert Lee Sterling, your one-stop shop for all your sports gambling needs. Make Locked On Bets your second listen behind your first listen, that being Locked On Vols. Guys, thanks so much. Enjoyed it. Have a great Thursday, and we will talk again tomorrow.